Phil Henry Show. My name is Phil Henry. I'm the host, and I'm also the guest, and I'm everything, man. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. It is now time for that segment of the program we call You May Now Talk to Phil. How about that, man? I don't have my bongo land music. Well, there you go. But you may now call me and talk to me at 1-800-449-8686. The rare opportunity for you to talk to me directly about our show or about things that we have talked about on the program, opinions that we have voiced, things that you may want to comment on. A rare opportunity indeed at 1-800-449-8686. You can now call in and talk to me, and we'll see whether or not your call is any good. As you know, on this program, we generally give callers short shrift. On this particular segment, though, we give people a little bit more respect, although we will mess with your mind, screw with you, and basically insult you. Although if you're really sweet and nice, particularly female callers, we treat very well. In fact, here's some female-oriented music right now. Nothing like bongos, I always say, to get a lot of women listening and staying. This pumps the TSL of female listenership like you wouldn't believe. Bongos. Anyway, it says here, say hello to NBC's The Weakest Link, the only game show where the caustic host gets paid to be nasty on national television. Like ABC's mega hit Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, the show is currently the hottest game show in England this year. But unlike Millionaire, Link is keeping its British host, Anne Robinson, when it debuts April 16th, which I guess was yesterday. We see a lot of game shows, but we haven't seen anything quite like Anne Robinson, NBC Entertainment Chief Jeff Zucker told The Post yesterday. What he might have said is, we've seen a lot of game shows, but up until now, we haven't allowed any of them on the air until we saw Anne Robinson and realized we better take her or ABC would get it. Unquestionably, the most unique element of Link is Robinson, whose sole job is to torture the contestants, peppering them with insults in her polite British accent. One of the really cool things that I enjoy sometimes when I'm reading the media, they call a host nasty, and I never quite understand why they say that. They've often said that about David Letterman, that he's nasty. Do you get that at all? Do you pick that up from Letterman at all, that he's nasty? Who are the lightweights? Who are the tender asses that are writing these columns that call a guy like Letterman nasty? Morton Downey Jr. was nasty. Not only that, he was nasty, he was a phony baloney. But David Letterman, he's funny. Now they got nasty written all over this Anne Robinson. I bet you $500,000 million what they really mean is she's funny. What do you think of that? Well, look at this. We have a call already. Patrick, hi. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, I was calling just to say that R.C. Collins is one of my favorite characters, along with when you do Art Bell and Ted Bell. But
cool. All the Bell brothers.
You never mentioned, though, about R.C. Collins' Phantom Nut.
Yeah, he doesn't talk a lot about his testicular cancer, although he did last week. I think we had him on. What was the show where R.C. was on, Mike? R.C. Collins is, you remember last week he was talking about how he was missing a testicle? What was that show about? Do you remember? He has not talked a lot about his physical ailments, and he hasn't talked a lot about his, particularly his testicular cancer in quite some time. But he should, because Phantom Nut is a very funny thing.
Yes, I read it on the website, and it's priceless.
Yeah, Phantom Nut is basically, he lost, for those of you who don't know about Phantom Nut, R.C. lost a testicle to cancer. And as is the case with a lot of people who lose a limb, they have what's called phantom limb. In fact, people are known to have reached over to scratch an arm that has actually been amputated, or reached down to scratch a leg that is no longer there. In R.C.'s case, one afternoon, he reached down to scratch his left nut, and it wasn't there. It was Phantom Nut.
That's funny.
All right, Patrick.
I got one more thing to
add. Go ahead, man.
I noticed you have the best of CDs. There is so much material on your show that is really funny. How can we get access to all that stuff? I know a lot of it's on the website, but a lot of my friends don't have high-speed internet access and whatnot. Where can we get other
stuff? In other words, if you don't have internet access?
Well, no, high-speed internet access.
I don't think you need high-speed internet access. I don't have it, and I can.
Well, yeah, but I mean.
You mean download the stuff? That's what you're asking?
Listen to, yeah, a lot of clips.
Napster.
Napster?
Napster has tons of my stuff on there.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, look at me plugging Napster, but what the hell? Why not? I mean, there's a lot of crap of ours on Napster.
Okay. Okay, great show, Phil.
Thank you, man.
Thanks.
Bye. Yeah, I don't know what to think about Napster, but we've got some, the guys in San Diego told me that there's like 85 billion bits from our show on Napster. And so if you want some of that crap, you can get that. Certainly the Phil Hendry Show website has, we update our flashbacks every day. And there's some fan sites out there that I know the guys illegally download our material and put it on there, and there's nothing I can do about it. But that's okay, because I don't own the stuff anyway. I don't own it. Premier owns it. Clear Channel and KFI Radio and all the, they all own it. 1-800-449-8686. Robert, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil. Just wondering, the first time I heard your show, I didn't know that you were the guest and the host. Wonder if you've ever had anybody call in and felt that you've gone too far and you've offended them.
I don't know what you mean by that.
Oh, you know, when you
have I had complaint calls? Yes.
Well, no, one of your characters, when they get to talking to someone that's called in and doesn't know that, you know, that essentially it's a joke, have they ever, you know, have they gotten so offended that you felt you'd gone too far?
No. One time we had a young lady who was crying, and we brought her back on the air, but that was like 2 weeks ago. But we don't do that much.
Yeah.
No. This girl was, she was really upset, and she was young, and she'd been to Oklahoma City. She'd seen, I don't know, there was some reason we took pity on her, and so we brought her back and talked to her, and she was cool. But generally, no, I don't have too much mercy on callers, because they're the knuckleheads that picked the freaking phone up in the first place and dialed the number, aren't they?
Well, that's how I feel, but you know, I've been told I have a bad sense of humor. So
well, you and
I,
me,
I
pal.
I think you're funny.
Thank you, buddy. All right, bye. Okay, and quit smoking. Here's David on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi, I am going to be a contestant
Hi.
On the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire program.
Uh-huh.
And I would like Margaret Gray to be one of my phone-a-friend lifelines.
Okay, cool.
Great,
you're on, man.
It.
As soon as you get that set up, we'll give you a number
excellent.
To call.
I'm totally looking forward to it.
Now, what do you mean you're going to be a contestant? It means
well,
that
it
you're...
was this whole complicated rigmarole, but I did my, I called in, then I had my interview, I took the test, I played the practice game, they asked me lots of questions, and they liked my answers. Then I had to wait for my postcard, and it was supposed to come within 2 weeks, and on the last day, 2 weeks later, I got my postcard. Now I just wait for them to call me and give me my tape date.
And that means you go into the audience and you become one of those six or seven people that takes that initial little test to see.
Nine, right.
There's nine people. Okay.
One thing that's cool about it is that once you're on their contestant pool, you're in it forever. So I could go and sit as one of those nine and utterly fail because I don't know the four pop music stars when they were born or
right,
whatever.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And then I can fail and then not and then just have a nice trip to New York, go home, and 6 months later get another call and they'll fly me to New York again. And they said you stay on their list until basically you get in the hot seat or the show goes off the air.
Oh, that is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, well, but there's nothing that guarantees they pull your name either, but at least you're supposedly on their list.
The way they've said it, they're not going to waste their time sending you the postcard and making you on their list if they don't plan to use you. But I don't know when they're going to want a white male from Southern California.
They seem to have lots of those, don't they?
I feel I have a question.
I just wanted to say... Yeah. One of the people on the guy that won last night on Weakest Link was a black guy, which, you know, has got people just the variety and entertainment writers across America can't find the adjectives to describe what that means to entertainment in America. Go ahead, David.
Well, I know I have four other lifelines, and you've always been my first choice for the fifth, but I was waiting for you to do You Can Talk to Phil. My question is, and I have a guess, what topics you're best at. I know you're very good at the history of rock and roll, right?
I'm pretty good at history.
Okay, history in general.
Yeah, that's a passion of mine. And like I said, last night when I could have been watching Weakest Link, I was watching Zulu.
Yeah.
And then I go online and I look up the whole Natal British Expeditionary Force. And, like, who do I tell this information to? Nobody. My wife doesn't want to know. I just come in here waving sheafs of paper in Mike's nose. Mike, did you know that in 1879, 11 Victorian crosses were given out?
Now, Phil, would I tell Regis that I'd like to call Margaret Gray? She's a nationally syndicated columnist who does and that we just would pretend
now, if
that
the
it's really Margaret.
I'm sure before the show they're going to ask you who is your lifeline
right.
They're going to and they're going to determine that actually who you're calling is a nationally syndicated talk show host who does voices.
Would it bother you if they said that on the air?
No, not at all. But
oh,
what I'm telling you is that they may disallow me as a lifeline because they're probably not going to want me to come on and go, and by the way, listen to the Phil Hendry show every day.
Rosie O'Donnell has been a lifeline, and she actually went on.
Oh, all right. Well, then you can say, you know, you used Rosie O'Donnell. Can I use Phil Hendry?
Exactly.
He does a radio...
Oh, no, Margaret Gray.
Okay, then can I use Margaret Gray? And if you can actually get it past the producers of that show that Margaret Gray is a real person, that's beautiful.
Well, here's what I was thinking was
I mean, that'll be gorgeous.
If I'm on and the question is like something that's like biblical or something, then I'll say, well, there's a Pastor William Renick that I would love to have. Or, you know, theoretically, I could use any number of your folks, but I think Margaret is such a know-it-all that,
well,
she would be perfect.
Don't they have to ask you beforehand who it's going to be?
Well, yeah, but the real answer is Phil Hendry. So I guess once
do they
I
have to know,
I could have whoever.
Do they have to know that that's what the real answer is?
You know, I guess if you and I want to just decide right now that we're going to not tell them that there's no such thing as Margaret Gray, let's do it.
Let's tell them. I say you tell them it's Margaret Gray's a real person,
yeah,
and she's a columnist.
Right.
And if you can, and if we can actually slip it by them on national television, even though it's taped, you know, all of the hurdles that you have to hurdle to actually get this thing on, because I'm not going to pull some, you know,
Baba Booey, Baba Booey.
You know, I'm not going to do that.
Right.
I'll just, you know, I'll goof it and we'll go through it and see what happens.
Right. Obviously, because you're so rushed, you won't have, you know, I want to actually have your help. So if the question is about the history of some group, you know, it sticks who you hate.
I'll try to help you, man. The best I can. Absolutely.
Thanks, Phil.
All right.
Take
David,
care.
Thank you. Bye-bye. So that's the last time we'll ever hear from him. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. You may now talk to Phil, a regular feature on the Phil Hendry Show. You can call in and actually talk to me if your call doesn't blow beyond all recognition. Now we'll take a break and be right back on the Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show. Welcome back to the Phil Hendry Show, and this is a portion of our program called You're Now Allowed to Talk to Phil. Rarely do we allow our listeners to actually reach out and ask me questions, not only about the show, but about various opinions and attitudes that are expressed in this program. But we do it every now and again, and today's your lucky day. I'd like to recommend this month's Spin Magazine, 20 Years of Punk, the 20th anniversary of punk. And Spin has, and just so happens that Joey Ramone of the Ramones passed on Sunday, and it's like one of the strangest coincidences that I've ever heard of. With his passing comes this Spin magazine, 25 Years of Punk, featuring articles on The Clash, Bad Brains, Rancid, Social Distortion, X, The Germs, The Dead Kennedys, The Buzzcocks, and other bands that you've never listened to but pretended that you did. So anyway, it's only because I would get drunk and somebody would drag me to Madame Wong's that I ever saw any of these bands. You know, in other words, what do I know? You know, come on, let's go to Madame Wong's. I don't know. It's a Chinese food? Yeah, sure. It's Chinese food. And the next thing you know, I'm sitting there and there's Oingo freaking Boingo. I saw Oingo Boingo. You like Oingo Boingo? Look at that. Yeah, Craig's all jealous and stuff because he's so young and I'm old and I saw all these great bands and he's got to sit there and suck on bands like Bush. If you'll pardon the expression. Okay, let's go to Tamika. Hi, Tamika. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, Phil.
How are you?
I'm good. I called you last Thursday, but I hung up on myself.
Cool.
You remember that call?
No, I don't, dear.
You were calling for young black females. I had a question for you. I wanted to know, how is it that you get your...
Well, anytime rioting breaks out, we always only want to talk to black females. They're the exact opposite of the reasons for rioting, old white females. So go ahead, Tamika.
How do you get your characters? I mean, your ethnic characters to sound so ethnic. And where do you get your material?
Where do I get my material?
I mean, besides the news and like Martha, is that her name? The lady that knows it all. Is she a black female?
No, Margaret's white.
Margaret's white.
We have a black female named Mavis, and we have another named Clara.
Clara.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who's a middle school teacher? And then we have Dave Oliva, and we have Brass. I'm a mimic. In other words, I listen and I watch people around me, and so I can see how they sound so ethnic. I don't really know the answer to that question other than, you know, you have to be aware of the world around you. You have to be aware of life, and you have to take it in, and I try, you know.
And it's not
and
just
I had
black
a black girl.
All your characters.
I've had about three black girlfriends, too, which helps. And then another thing. No, I spent time, I did time, Tamika, with black women. It was tough, but I survived, you know. I have always been interested and fascinated, I guess, by the stratification of race in this country. And really, you grow up in a white neighborhood like I did, and then you are exposed to so-called ethnic peoples, whether they're Mexican-American, African-American, whatever, and your eyes get open, and you can do one of two things. You get scared, or you say, well, that doesn't exist, or you can sort of investigate it. And like most young, white, rich kids, I got into listening to rhythm and blues, too. And that meant that I had to go down to the Southgate Palace, or I had to go down to other black-owned clubs and hang with all the brothers so I could hear some jazz.
Okay.
And so I'd have to, you know, there's a bartender going, what you want? I'll take a, you want what? Hell, you ain't a fridge, you ain't even black. I don't know what the hell you doing in here, you know. So, like in Atlanta, Fat Max Rib Shack with that big fat lady who actually has whiskers going, you want the ribs? Yeah. So that kind of thing.
Okay. Well, I don't really have a favorite character, but I love it when you talk about your kids and what you guys do on the weekend.
Oh, thanks, yeah. But they're holding dinner.
That's the best.
They're holding dinner for me tonight, Tamika. They were out of town, and they came in, and the kids are on spring break. So they actually said, and we're going to wait for you to have dinner. I said, that's a change. So I'm going to go home and barbecue something with them.
So you have three boys and one girl?
Yeah.
Well, you never really talk about the girl.
Oh, she's great. She's bright and young, and she grows up around boys, so she's going to know everything there is to know about men by the time she's a young woman.
Okay.
And she can hang pretty good with the guys because they abuse her, you know, as older brothers will do. Yeah, but they also protect her. You know, it's that love-hate thing that happens with a sister.
Okay.
And she's going to be smart. Any woman that grows up, did you grow up with a lot of brothers?
Yes.
So you have an innate knowledge of men, don't you? I mean,
exactly.
You know exactly what frustrates them, what makes them happy, and I think she sees that. She watches her brothers go nuts on stuff, and she's kind of got it figured out.
She controls them with those.
Exactly. Plus, she thinks I'm funny, so that's even cooler.
Oh yeah, you're past funny. You're unbelievable.
Oh, thank you for calling in, my sister, and I'll tell you now.
I'll keep listening every day, all day.
Okay, thanks.
All right, bye-bye.
I don't know. You know, when I was a kid, I remember sitting there, and I was 10, and I'm sitting in front of the TV. Like, I spent most of my time in front of the TV, like any normal white kid did. And there in front of me was a television image on the news. And there was a lot of news happening back then. And this was of Nicholas Katzenbach, and he was standing there in front of George Wallace, who was the governor of Alabama. And George Wallace stood there in the doorway of the University of Alabama, the admissions office, and next to him were two stupid-looking clods in blue helmets, and these were Alabama State Troopers. And Katzenbach was there with three black students with his arms folded across his chest saying, it is a federal law, you must admit these kids to this school. And Wallace was going on about, you know, segregation, they have a thing like this and all that crap, and I'll never let them in. I remember thinking, even at the age of 10, who is this ass? Now, there was nothing in my experience that would have prepared me to be on either side of that debate. In other words, I could have gone either way, but it was an instinctive thing for me to sit there and say, looking at Wallace, first of all, was an ugly creep. And I don't care if he was in a freaking wheelchair. The guy was a creep, shop-worn, tarnished, bigoted old creep who was the governor of... And I remember sitting there looking at this guy, this ugly old freak, standing in the doorway where these kids were standing there with books, waiting to go into class. And I remember thinking, look at this creep. And I remember said to my mom, Mom, who is this ass right here? And then she hit me with a bag, and it had ball bearings in it. And that's the last time then I woke up 2 days later. So maybe it's instinctive, you know, where you just have an interest. And if you cut yourself, I'll just say this, all right, if you shut yourself off from culture, not only are you stupid, but you're missing everything. If you just sort of surround yourself with the same people, the same neighborhood, the same block, and the same food, and the same clothes, and you think that you're somehow strong, you're weak. You're a weakling. You evidence weakness because you can't hang with whatever there is in this world. You can't sample with that. This is America, okay? You know the whole melting pot thing? Well, it ain't melted yet, Jim. You can still go out there and have yourself some freaking whatever the hell you want to eat and meet whoever you want to meet and read whatever you want to read and go to whatever neighborhood you want to go to, so long as you don't mind getting shot at in some of them. That's what I like about this country. Okay, anyway, 1-800-449-86, and so that's why I can imitate black guys really good. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. My engineer, Craig Taylor, has been engineering also for the Jim Rome Show this week. And some of the crap that he's been telling us, man, some of the inside secrets, some of the garbage that he's spilling. Oh, man, you'll never set foot in that studio again. I'm only kidding. I'm joking. He hadn't said squat. I said, come on, what's... No, I can't say anything. I said, is it much fun as working on that show as it is on this show? And he goes, I don't want to offend Jim. No, he didn't say that. He didn't say that. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show here. And we're doing our You May Talk to Phil this hour as we have people checking in with a variety of questions on the show and on various attitudes and opinions that have been expressed in this program. Here's George. Hi, George. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Phil. Thanks a lot for taking my call. I got to tell you, I grew up in the western part of the San Fernando Valley, and my mom and her bitty friends are right on with Bobby Dooley.
Yeah, just like them, huh?
I mean, it's absolutely incredible. I hear that. I literally am driving home from work and I hear a crash because I'm laughing so hard. I can't. I mean, my mom on the phone to this day does, Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. My mother too. She's based on my mother. It must be the generation. I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's the thing I appreciate about the show is that you know the cultural references back to the 70s in that part of the city that all the itinerant people who've moved in here and moved out just don't appreciate. And the people in Hidden Hills and Calabasas.
Yeah.
With the associations and the regulations. I mean the parade regulations in Hidden Hills and those areas. It's ridiculous.
The gated communities.
Oh, it's scary. I mean, that's why I have a nomadic nature, because I want to get the heck away from there as soon as possible. I'd like to say one more thing, too, on account of my roommates and I. We have literally – your show is like crack sometimes. I mean, it's a good form of crack, but it's absolutely
– crack.
I mean, every person I tell about this
show – You pounding veins becomes, over there?
Yeah. I mean, it becomes – we're mainlining right now, or whatever it's called. I mean, you become so addicted to it that we literally – we'll meet strangers in public where you can kind of mess with people in bars or – restaurants, and they ask your name, like, I'm Ted Bell.
Yeah.
Or we'll do the someone's telling a boring story, you'll do the and then
right.
I know you guys get sent a lot of stuff all the time from weirdos and strangers, but I'm the guy who sent you that soccer program last year with the ad in it. I coach a high school.
Do you know the one?
High school soccer team.
Oh, yeah. You guys and your freaking team.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Hey, Mike, what was the name of the – what do you guys have in there? It was dedicated to somebody,
yeah,
wasn't
well,
it?
Yeah, well, we had this thing. It was we joked about Jay Santos and all, and we called it Juanita South Security. And
oh, yeah. Did you guys set up a web page?
Well, we haven't set up a web page yet, but we're about to. But what's great is that parents came up to me. And they didn't read the ad through. They just said JSS Security, and we live in the South Bay, so we're like Juanita South Security, our street. And parents came up to me, and they're like, God, I didn't know you were in the security business. Do you guys have an alarm company? Do you have security guards?
Yeah.
And we're like, yeah, you just don't get it, do you?
Well, they don't, and they shouldn't have to if they don't listen to the show. But if they do, they should.
We actually quoted you. I'm glad you didn't sue us, but we said, we quoted you. We quoted Lloyd Bonafide. We quoted Ray Lewis of the Baltimore Ravens saying, if I had JSS on my side in Atlanta, I never would have had to rat on my lifelong friends and stuff like that.
Yeah, actually, I saw that ad, and I remember thinking about, look, they're using our name from our show. And I said, and it was Mike who wanted to sue you, and I said, no, Mike, back off. I said, no, it's great, and it's like a high school program, so everything's good.
Right.
I thank you for your call, brother.
Hey, thanks.
All right, man,
Bill.
Thanks for calling. Bye-bye. So get my attorney. Because of those guys. No, 1-800-449-8686. You know, some people will say to me, oh, you know, that bit you did, blah, blah, blah. It's like people write for television. And, I don't know how to say this, but some people want to pitch my stuff to a TV company like it's theirs. If I ever, ever, ever see any of the things that we do on this show pop up on a television show, if I ever see anything about a homeowners association, if I ever see anything about a citizens auxiliary police, any kind of thing like that, you can rest assured that I'm going to break down and cry and not be able to do anything more about it than that, because I'm sure that I'm not protected legally. No, but you know what? I'll look into it. By God, I will. My friend Frazier Smith, I'll go on record right now and say it. Frazier came up with Party Animal. Budweiser took it. That whole Spuds McKenzie thing, that Party Animal thing, Frazier was saying it on the air for years. So some real brilliant genius at an ad agency just stole it. There's so many people who are so desperate to hang on to their freaking Mercedes, BMW, and Lexus leases in this town, so desperate to hang on to the lease at the beach, that they're so out of ideas and out of anything creative to say or do, they'll just go right out and they'll steal somebody else's stuff. Call it their own, take it to a studio. Guy at the studio's too stupid to know what he's hearing anyway. He just thinks it's a good idea because that dumbass goes home with his 15-year-old girlfriend, and whatever the hell he does. So he's not plugged into culture. He goes to the beach house with the 18-year-old and does whatever crank they were able to score from the bikers up there, you know, along the highway near Balibu, which we won't mention. What does he know about culture? So they just steal their material. Now, everybody knows in radio, everybody steals from everybody else. Television, though, it's like an art form. So I could just tell you, man, if I ever see anything that this show is created on TV, I won't do anything about it. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. John, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Phil, thanks for taking my call.
How you doing,
John? I'm one more person who was practically crying when Bobby Dooley was on earlier. Oh, that was so funny.
Oh, yeah, that whole bit with don't talk about Columbine?
Well, she just...
La, 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 la.
She totally degenerated at the end.
Yes.
It's funny, too, when you hear a caller and it's like they're starting to catch on, but they don't want to admit that they finally have gotten it, so they kind of continue to play the part.
Well, they don't want to look like a fool.
Exactly.
I know this is all just a big joke. You suck. Goodbye. Click. You know, that's about how those calls end.
Yeah, I was talking to a friend when I was on hold, and we were laughing at the number of characters you do who have hearing impairment problems.
Yes.
Huh? There you go. Or yeah. my favorite is Chris Norton when he does the what?
Yeah, there you go. You guys listen to way too much of this freaking show, that's for sure.
You know, the question I wanted to ask, though, is I'm wondering how many background tracks you have. I notice there seem to be like 5 or 6, and it's funny because...
God, you do listen to this show really close. You're creepy, man. We got about 4 or 5 or 6. I think there's about 6 different loops for telephone effects that we use, and we're always changing them. I noticed there's 5 or 6. No, yeah, it's me out in a car calling myself.
When Chris Norton's on, there's some kind of, I don't know.
No, we change him up. We change him up depending. No, he doesn't have his own loop. We change him up.
Okay, well, it's funny.
All right, brother.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, bye. Get out of here. Crystal, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, Phil.
Hi, Crystal.
Okay. My dad and I got in a huge fight on Easter Sunday because my dad swears to God that you once said you have a female on your staff who calls and acts outraged every once in a while at whatever your bit is.
Well, I might have said that, but I probably was making one of my characters be more lifelike by saying that. But no, I have no staff people. I have no actors. I don't pay anybody. This show is me.
I know. We actually bet $100.
Well, your old man owes you $100.
I know.
You want me to call him up and tell him so? I won't.
Yes.
No, I will not. But tell that creep to give you the $100.
I will. We actually went on your website, and I was trying to find somewhere on there, but it, of course, doesn't explicitly say, and I just...
Now, let me tell you something. The day that I pay callers or the day that I have actors is the day that I go ahead. We're on the 5th floor here at Premiere. That's the day I go out this window head first.
You were principled about that. But
yeah, well, I've never put it that way, but yes, I am. I'm highly principled.
Well, he lives by that.
Yes, you're right. You get that guy to cough up.
I will.
$100 C note? Where is he now?
He lives right around the corner. He better be listening.
Is he your retired father?
Yes, am I.
So he's probably sitting there in the chair going, well, I'll be a son of a bitch. Listening to the radio right now.
Yeah.
All right, kid.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Crystal. Bye.
Bye.
Principled. Yes, you can say that this show is principled. We don't hire any actors, blah, blah, blah. But you've heard me tell this story a million times. But you've got to understand the business that I'm in. This is radio. This is like, it's like trying to put your finger in a dike, if you'll pardon the expression, that is bursting at the seams all the time with crap. There is a never-ending onslaught, a never-ending flood of sameness and people stealing everybody else's ideas and pedestrian bullcrap that we are constantly trying to keep you from drowning in it. So not only we work hard to present an original show and work hard to present funny material, but we work hard to let you know how the program evolves so that you recognize quality. Because there's so much swill. It's, oh my God, where do I begin? That passes itself off as cutting edge. These people ought to be taken out and shot. And these, you know, and I go to these talk radio seminars, and I go to these, you know, these different functions, and I'm sitting there with the big smile on my face. Yeah, how you? Oh yeah, you really do a great job, you dirty. You know, I. Oh God. Smarmy, smiley creeps, and it wouldn't be so bad if they had something to say, if they had a show, if they had any original material whatsoever, but it's just, it's depressing is what it is, because I happen to like this business, and I happen to think that radio is, can be something great, but not as long as there are these wannabes that they keep getting radio shows, and, you know, really all they want to do is springboard off into the big TV gig. Someday they'll get their talk show, yada, yada, yada. They suck. They don't work hard. They don't come up with anything original. They walk through, they sleepwalk through their freaking shows. I could go on and on, but why should I? Nobody's going to care or listen anyway. Okay, after that boring thing, should I just go to a break now and blow my brains out? Okay, 1-800-4, I don't know if I'll be back. I'm going to step into the bathroom now for a cigarette break and a can of gasoline. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. I looked at Craig. This is the Phil Hendry Show. And I said, I can't hear anything. I can't hear anything. He says, I can hear. I said, I can't hear. And the headphones were unplugged. I'm sorry, man. I'm like, I can't hear anything. And the headphones are freaking out of the jack here. 1-800-449-8686. Chris, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
What's up, Phil?
Hi.
How you doing?
Fine.
Well, I just, first I got to ask, whose idea was it to start using that electronic as a bumper?
Craig's.
That's great. It's great. I mean, the old stuff was good, but I'm...
Yeah, the old stuff sucked. Yeah. The old stuff sucked. I couldn't stand it any longer. And he came to me finally. He says, we got to get rid of that. I can't stand bumper music to begin with, but this is way better.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it reminds me of going to Pleasure Island at Disney World, you know, that house party place. It's great.
Well, all those raves where the kids are using ecstasy these days.
Yeah, and you're one of them. Go ahead.
No. But anyway, I found out the other day, I tried calling last week, but I wanted to say, I heard from a pretty legitimate source that Jackass was on MTV. It turns out Johnny Knoxville, he pitched the show by shooting himself in the chest with, it could have been a .22, it could have even been a 9mm, but he had a flak jacket on.
So that was his pitch meeting. He shot himself.
or he had footage
and Craig,
of something like that.
And Craig Taylor says he's got the tape
of
Knoxville's pitch meeting with MTV of him shooting himself. So he shot himself. Whether that was actually the pitch meeting, that would have been funny. Okay, what do you got for me today? Well, here it is. Pow! He shoots himself.
What do you think
of a show of that? We'll take it.
Yeah.
But you know what? You could have done just as easily if you just went to any studio executive's car and crapped in the front seat. That would have been effective, too. I'm going to do a whole show of that. What do you think? Great.
Well, you could have started shooting the executives over there.
You know, Jackass is fine, and there's nothing wrong with it. It's very compelling. Like I said, why doesn't he just eat the stuff out of my cat? In other words, the question is this, and it's been asked by smarter men than me, one of whom was Chris Rock on Letterman the other night. So, in other words, we've been spending all this time writing material, and all we had to do was take a crap and eat it? And we could have made $1 million doing that?
Staple stuff to
our ass. Staple crap to our ass? Yeah. Okay, I get it now. I understand. Thank you. You should have. They should have dropped flyers to Iowa, Minnesota, all these places in Middle America where people come to the West Coast, right, to be in showbiz and say, no talent needed, just take a dump and eat it. Okay, and it rhymes. Okay, Chris.
All right,
thanks,
man.
Sir. Thank you.
Thank
bye-bye.
You.
I don't begrudge the man his success. Maybe a little bit. But in all honesty, I don't know what the hell I'm saying. Here's Paul. Hi, Paul. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil, you're the man.
How are you?
I'm great, man. I've been dying to tell you this story. I'm driving along. This is quite a while ago when you were on in the afternoons a little earlier. And Lloyd Boniface, my favorite Korean War vet, is on.
Right.
And I'm not sure what he was doing, but he was being very obnoxious, so you put him on hold.
Uh-huh.
The dude fights his way off hold.
Yes.
I'm laughing so hard, I rear-end some guy.
You actually got into an accident.
I actually got into an accident. The guy comes back. You know, we're exchanging information. I'm telling the guy, well, hold on a second. I got to go back to the car and listen to old Lloyd fighting his way off hold.
Yeah, he fought his way. I don't know what made us think of that, but Lloyd, we put him on hold and got rid of the bit, and then we realized we wanted to go back to it, so he just went,
he just...
He's such a badass that he can fight his way off a hold button.
Lloyd is cool. Can I tell you about one more favorite moment?
Go ahead.
That pastor who decided, I don't know if it was William Renick or not, he decided that he was going to have turnstiles at the church.
Yes.
And you had to slide your ATM card through.
That was Austin, actually.
And you're he the wanted man, to have.
Bill. Yeah. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, bro.
Bye bye. Well, that was cool. He heard the music, and on cue, he split.
Yeah, Mr. Wheeler.
Yes, sir.
Where do you get off talking about scenery, Chamber of Commerce weather for a riot?
I'm talking about how people deal telegenically with the images of a riot, which affects the emotions of the people viewing it. Yes,
sir.
You're
talking about emotional tragedy?
I'm talking about how people view it and how their emotions are affected by it. Yes, sir.
Well, what about here in Oklahoma City when the bombing? Did it matter how the scenery looked, what kind of weather was in the sky when all those people died in that building?
Well, my feeling on the bombing at the federal building there was that it was a tragedy that it happened, but it was a double tragedy that it happened in Oklahoma City because...
Why is that? This is a beautiful city.
Okay. All right.
But when...
Well, what are you saying? It's not?
Well, it's not Phoenix. You know,
so it would have been pretty if it happened in Phoenix, all those lives, 168 people dead?
I think, for instance, Phoenix, I compare Oklahoma City to Phoenix because they're both inland cities. They're not near oceans.
Oh.
Whereas Phoenix has a very beautiful desert scene. Oklahoma City is right in the middle of, well, it's in Oklahoma, and that's flat and very unimaginative. It's not a very imaginative place to blow a building up.
So you have a scenery Chamber of Commerce mentality when it comes to human tragedy, be a riot or Oklahoma City bombing. It depends on the scenery and what the weather's like, is what you're saying.
What does?
The tragedy of the loss of human life. You see, if the Titanic went down in clear weather, it would have been better if it didn't go down in a gray dull.
That's what you're saying, Dean, isn't it?
Essentially, yes. I'm saying that people can deal with it better. If it's a nice, beautiful area that's burning.
What about the human? You're saying when the Hindenburg is down and the announcer went, the calamity, the humanity.
In my paper I mentioned if the Hindenburg had exploded on Maui, I think it would have been better.
If the Hindenburg had exploded on Maui.
Yes, sir.
I can't talk to this guy no more.
I'm trying to answer all your questions. And
he hung up, and I understand why.
Why?
Bill Hendry.